We're on Kuf Yud Aleph on the top by the top two lines. Okay. So the Mishnah mentioned Nasan as a kesev liyoyirav. So we're talking about the asham that's being brought for Gezel Hager. Right, so the guy brought the kesef. He brought the money to Yehoriav. I mean, he brought the money to give to the group of Kohanim from Yehoriav, which we'll call them A. And he brought the asham to the Mishmar of Yediyah, which is group B. Right? Or the other way around, the asham liyoriav and the kesef liyediyah. The same thing. So if the asham is around, then it could be makriv. If not, you have to give it back and bring another asham. Okay, fine. But Rabbanan learned in the brisa, nasan asham liyoriyav. So he brings the karbon asham. He brings to the shmeris of yoriyav. What?
What are you saying?
Kuf yud aleph, two dots at the top. So he brings the karbon asham to yoriyav, and he brings the kesef, which is the karen and the chomesh, liyodiyah. So they said, machlokes in the brisa, what happens? Can you keep the asham where it is? Meaning the asham went to group A, the kesef went to group B. So yachsir, Tanakama, which is going to be Rabbi Yehuda, says, yachsir kesef etzel asham. Your group B has to give the kesef to group A, because the kesef has to follow the asham, and therefore group A would have the asham and the kesef. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Chacham omrim, yachsir asham etzel kesef. The other way around, the asham has to follow the kesef, the asham has to go to the kesef, so group A has to, assuming they didn't be more mock of the carbon yet, group A has to give the carbon to group B, so group B can take care of it. So Gemara says, "Hey Chidami, what is the case that the Brisa is dealing with? Elim with the Yahiv le Asham le Yehoriyav v'mishmaras Yehoriyav v'kesef le Diyah v'mishmaras le Yehoriyada zezach b'shalov zezach b'shalov. If he brought the Asham to, let's just say it's a 2-week mishmar. So on the last day of mishmar Aleph, he brings the Asham to them, and the next day he gathers the money and brings the money to the next mishmar. Well, then he did the right thing. He gave whatever he was supposed to give, he gave to the right mishmar, and therefore they were zocheh and whichever belonged to them. They got it. The whole thing is gezel ger. There's nobody here to take the money, so it all goes to the kohanim. So the kohanim get, and we mentioned yesterday, it's one of the matnos kohuna. So the kohanim get the asham, and the kohanim get the money. Which kohanim get it? The one who's supposed to give it at that time, whoever's over there. So if he gives it to the right mishmar at the right time, why would one go to the next one? So the Gemara then says, no, so amarava, Hacha b'mayaskina, what are we dealing with over here? The yahiv asham liyoriyav b'mishmar tol liyoriyav, the kesef liyoriyav b'mishmar tol liyoriyav. So it's Yehoriyav's turn. It's group A's turn. So he gives group A the asham, and for some reason he turns around and gives the money to somebody from group B. So he's given the money to the wrong mishmar.
But they're not there.
They are there. They're in Yerushalayim. What's the big deal? They're both kohanim everywhere.
Yeah, okay.
We have kohanim in our shul all the time. They're kohanim everywhere. So he gives it, or he's not there, and he gives it to Yoriyav. Whatever the case is, he gives it to the wrong group. So the question now is, who do we force to give what is given to them to the other guy? So Rabbi Yehuda Savar came into Lav Mishmeres to Yadiyahi Lidiyah Kantinle Pashtus. It's the wrong. When he gave the money to Group B, he gave it to the wrong group. If you were doing anything to base the midrash at this time, you were supposed to give it to Group A. Right? So why did you give it to Group B? So tell Group B to give the money back to Group A. Tell Yedio to give the money back to Yoriyav. Hilkach, Yasir, Yaxir, Kesef, Etzel Hashem.
Who's
Mechuyif
to tell him?
Then you
have to give it back.
Oh, Beis Din, Kohanim, whoever, the rabbi of the shul, whoever's around.
Rabbi.
Right. The board of directors, I don't know. Hilkach. Yachzir kesef etzel asham. Therefore, the money has to go follow the asham. But Rabban Savri, no. Shelo kedin avud b'nei Yehoriyav. The kibul asham become made kesef. Hilkach lidhu kasin levi yachzir asham also kesef. The luck is, though, that the kesef has to come first. So by the fact that Yehoriyav, which is the mishmar whose group it is, took the korban before they took the money, they did it in the wrong order, which means they did their avoda incorrectly. So we're going to punish them and have them give up the asham to the kesef. The Mishnah had mentioned that the kesef has to come first, so we'll get a proof from that later. The Rabbanan say, I think Rabbi Yehuda is more pashtus, but Rabbanan say that since they messed up, then they have to pay back, right? Hilkach, right? Rabbanan say, Shaloka din avu b'nei Yehoriyav. The b'nei Yehoriyav didn't go according to the halacha would be. They kiblu, because they accepted from the gazlan, asham become a kesef. They took the korban before he got the kesef. And we just learned on the Mishnah that the Nesinus HaKesef comes before the Asham. Hilkach, Lidin, Hukan, Sinin, Lahu. Therefore, we punish them, right? V'yachzor Asham Eitzel Kesef, and we put the Asham by to the next group. I don't know. The question is though, what if the next group is not really group B? What if it's group E, and they're not going to be in the mishmar for another 6 weeks? There are a lot of mishmaros, not just two. So the whole assumption I've been going now is that it's one group and then another group.
It makes more sense.
I know, but what if it's not?
Is that at one time in Yerushalayim?
Understood. Okay, but what if the case is that it's group E and his best buddy? So he gave him the money. No, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Asham has to go to the Kesef. So does the carbon have to wait six mishmaros till it gets from Gulkrav? I don't know. Okay.
So why not? Why would he go to the next group?
Because he didn't give the Kesef to the next group.
So you got to follow the money.
Right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you follow the money. Okay, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Amar Rebbe. And maybe you're saying that you give both to the next group. I don't know. Doesn't say, but maybe. Tanya, Amar Rebbe. The Divi Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, again, Rabbi Yehuda says that you move the Kesef. Right, you move the Kesef to group A because it's supposed to go, it's not the Mishmar. You gave it to the wrong Mishmar. So I'm a Rebbe, the Divrei Rebbe Yehuda, Im Kadmu B'nei Yehoriyav, V'hikrivu Esa Asham, Yachzer V'yavi Asham Acher, V'akrivu B'nei Yediyav, V'zachu Olav V'mashu B'yadon. What would happen if guy gives the Asham to group A, gives the Kesef to group B? Well, he did it out of order. So, and he's supposed to, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's supposed to move the Kesef back to group A. What happens if group A got the Asham? They don't have the money yet, and they mark the Asham. Well, it's Cohen's supposed to do the carbon, mark the carbon. So he's mark the carbon. The problem is that you were mark the Asham before you gave over the Kesef, because it's in the wrong hand. This Kesef is supposed to go back to group A. So what do you do? So he says, according to our Mishnah, basically, the Gazlan would have to bring another carbon Asham. He has to bring another carbon Asham, and then the Akriv and Yudiyo. But he should give the carbon Asham to group B. Because they already got the Kesef, then give them the Korban Asham and let them be makriv the Korban Asham with the Kesef that they have. B'zachu halalu b'mashem b'yodon. And the group that shechted the first Korban Asham, they were zocha in the Korban Asham, becomes theirs. So Gemara asks, Armi l'maychazi, what do you mean becomes theirs? Asham pasalu. It's a Korban pasal. The Asham is not kosher because it was hukrav before the money was given. So how do you have the money had to be brought given back before it was supposed to be according to Rabbi Yehuda, the money was supposed to be given back to that group and then they would be marked with the carbon. So Amarava la Oro, it's Ro for its skins. That's what it's Ro for. Tosu says it's very not Pashat, because there are Gemaras, especially towards the end of Zvachim, that says that Tosu Tema, the Hachamashma Philip Psul Kodam Zrika. The whole idea that you could keep the or if it's pasul, the Gemara Zohar says it's a psul that takes place after the blood is thrown. So through the blood, basically the carbon was valid because of Dam is Meratze, the carbon was valid, and then if something happens to it, you can still keep the skins or the hides. Here the psul is taking place well before. The psul is taking place before you did the shechita. It's because it's out of order. That's why it's a pasul. That's why it's a pasul lashon. So why is the Gemara saying that they can keep the hides? They can't keep the hides. Tosos says according to the other Gemaras. Right, so Tosfos says Tema the Hacham Mashma Afilu B'Psul Koldim Zrika V'Gam Kishor Mechubar Adai B'Basar V'Nasam B'Psul Koldim Shchita Shehevi Koldim Akesef Shari B'Hana. How can that be? B'Zvachem Perek Tivul Yom Amar Rebbe Dam Mirat Al Or B'Fnei Atzmo. The Dam is what does it, right? Perish Kishu Mufshat V'Ir B'Psul B'Basar Hadam Mirat Al Or. So how that's Tosfos's question. I don't think Tosfos gives an answer, but okay. So strong, it's a strong question. I know in the notes here, he quotes the Tosfos Arash that says that even after Shechita, he says that maybe because of after Shechita, the group A can still get the Kesef. So if you can still give the Kesef to group A, or up to Zrika, you can give them the Kesef. So if you still give them the Kesef up to the time of the Zrika, so that the Zrika was done technically the Kashrus. The psul only takes place later. He has to figure out that he attempts to figure out that it's still kosher, that the carbon is still kosher, so that the dam, so that then when the dam is thrown, the ore can be used. Okay, Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Amar Rebbe, we just did that. Tanya, Amar Rebbe, another one. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, according to the words of Rabbi Yehuda, again, Rabbi Yehuda says the ashram was given to group A, the kesef was given to group B. Rabbi Yehuda says move the kesef to group A. Follow the ashram. Amar Rebbe, the Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, im kayam asham yachzir. Right, if the asham is around, you should give it back to the yachzir asham etzel kesef, which is more than says The Brisa just quotes Rabbi Yehuda, the complete opposite that we said. Again, the Ashram was given to group A, the Kesef was given to group B. We said Rabbi Yehuda says, move the Kesef to group A, move the Kesef to the Ashram, and here he says, move the Ashram to the Kesef. So what's going on? It's completely a complete contradiction to what we just learned. So the Gemara says, Hachav Mayaskinon, what are we dealing with in this case where we say to move the Ashram to the Kesef? He goes to Nafak Mishmarto to Yehoriav Vilo Tavu. So what happened was, is group A is Yehoriav, the money is supposed to go to group A. Well, their 2 weeks finishes, and they weren't Toveya, they didn't go after, didn't tell group B to give them the Kesef. They just let it go. They didn't pursue the matter. So we say, V'hakamash Malon, the Achule Achilu Gabayu, that group A was obviously was Mochel the Kesef to group B. Group B keeps the Kesef, and now the Kesef was given to group B, move the Ashram to group A, move the Ashram to group B, so you can have the Kesef before the Ashram. That's all. Two different cases. Tanya Idach. We have another Braisa. Where are any other places in the Gemara where we just hawk so much about something given to the wrong Mishmar, and maybe because it's two different things. So you have to, I don't know.
Was this a common occurrence for these types of
I have no idea what was common or not then. Only because I just didn't live there. I don't know.
I'm just saying they're worried about this heavy tipsa. I don't even
so know. I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't know. Tanya Idach. We learned in another Raisa, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe says, L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said by in our case, Ashram given to group A, Kesef given to group B, move the group Kesef from group B to group A. Right? L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Im Kayam Ashram, if the Ashram is still around, meaning group B, group A was not marked with the carbon, Yaxer Kesef Eitzel Ashram. Like we said, move the Kesef to the Ashram. Pshita, where it says Pshita, that's exactly what we learned. We learned that they moved the Kesef to the Ashram. So the Hachi Islay. So Pshita Hachi Islay. This is what we learned already. This is already what Rabbi Yehuda said, Beferish. So Hachi Maiskin, what we're dealing with in this case, he going to Nafik Mishmartam Dahani Udahani. So basically, more than 2 weeks passes by. Group A's, maybe this goes answers my question. Group A Mishmar is over, and then group B spends 2 weeks. And their Mishmar is over, and they never took the Ashram back from Group A. I guess Group A took it out of the base of Midrash, and they're holding on to it. And Group B never was Toveya. Group A was never Toveya the money from Group B, and then Group B was never Toveya the Ashram from Group A. So, Ma'udatema, you would have thought, Achuli Gabi Hadodi, that they were Mochel each other, and now I guess they were Mochel each other, and I guess the Kesa stays where it is. And the Ashram stays where it is, and they'd be makar of the carbon. Right? Kamash Malan. So Kamash Malan, we say, the Aminon, Kevon Delo Tavi, Lahaju Beresha. Which seems to be, maybe Rashi says also, is that since they weren't to obey each other, now basically everything goes back to the way it was originally. That which means that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would have to move the Kesef to Group A, and then Group A would have the Kesef and the Ashram, and be makar of the Ashram the next time their Mishnah shows up, which I guess is an 6 months from now, right? Is it 6 months or a year? 6 months, I think. Whatever it is. Whenever, I'm not going to display my ignorance. I just did already. But the what?
Here.
Right, so yeah. six months from now.
Right.
6 months from now. No, their Mishmar comes up every 6 months. Or maybe when Yontif comes around. I don't know, you can't bring those korbanos. But the idea being is that it goes back to the way it originally was. The Ashram stays with group A. The Kesef stays with group B. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kesef has to move to group A. But when? Has to be done, at least by the next Mishmar. It says, Yaxir, Lahadru Beresha. It says, Lahadru Beresha. Right, there's a Kamash Malan and a Rashi. The Kavan, the Bnei Yedio, Nami Lotov, Lashem, Mishmartam, Yaxir Kesef Etzel Asham, Viakrivu Bnei Yoriav, Kishiachzor, Shabbos Mishmarzam. When their Mishmar comes back. So basically, to answer the question, you delay until the next time around. Okay. Right, you just have to make sure to be very careful that there's no psul. Also, you have to make sure that there's no psul. To make sure that the carbon doesn't get a blemish. Okay. The Mishnah said, Shemevi gzelo ad shelo hevi ashamo yotza, but hevi ashamo ad shelo hevi gzelo lo yotza. If you bring the gzelo, we said was the karen, so if you bring the money before the asham, you're yotze, but if you bring the carbon before the money, you're not yotze. Meaning there's a specific order. First you have to pay, then you can bring the carbon asham to be yotze, yochia. Again, this is gezel ager, you're in nishba, there's no one to pay for it, so you have to be yotze yochol, v'heishet v'gzela, basically. This is your obligation now, once you lied about the stealing the object of the ger. So, another question, how prevalent was it stealing from a ger who then dies without yorsha? Okay, so, minan imili. Where do we know this? Where do we know that it must have been prevalent enough for the Mishnah to write about it? Where do we know that Hashavas Hagezel Hager to the Kohanim needs to be before the Akravas of the Asham? So Amar Rava, the Amar Krak, the Pasuk says, this is in Bamidbar Perek Hey, Ha Asham Ha Musav La Hashem La Kohen Movad El Hakipurim Asher Yichaper Bo Alav. So the Asham here means the Kerem. The El Kipurim is the Karban. Asham here means his guilt. We're saying that that's the money. So even though when we speak about Asham, we're talking about the Karban, the Lashon of the Torah, the Asham here means the money. Because the El Kipurim is the ram that's being brought for his Kapara. That's clearly the Karban itself. So it says, Ha Asham Ha Mushav Hashem HaKohen. The Asham, the Karen, is brought to the Kohen. Milvad El Kipurim HaShecha Per Bo'olav. Except for the El Kipurim, which will be brought. Except for me, so we're saying that Milvad seems to be in beforehand. Milvad El Kipurim is a phrase that beforehand. So Mechlal de Kesef Reisha, that says Mechlal de Kesef Reisha. The Gemara says, well, Milvad, meaning beforehand, is a problem. Because we know the halacha is that nothing is brought in the Beis HaMikdash before the Korban Talmid Shel Shachar, and nothing's supposed to be brought after the Korban Talmid Shel Arbayim, meaning the Korban Talmid Shel Shachar is first. Everything comes afterwards. Right? So the Gemara says, Amar Humay Rabban L'Rava El Meyata, if you're going to explain the word Milvad as meaning beforehand, well, in the Pasuk of the Korban Talmid, it says, the Pasuk of the Korbanos Musaf, for the holidays, it says, Milvad Olasa Boker, Asher Olasa Tamid, Tasuas Eile. So according to your interpretation, it would be, you bring the Korban Musaf, before you bring the Olasa Boker, before you bring the Korban Tamid, Tasuas Eile, you do the Musaf. We know that's not the case. The Musaf comes after the Korban. Right? Because Michlal do Musaf and Bereisha, that can't be. You're telling me that the Korban Musaf comes first? Vatanya, we have a price that says, Minayin Shlo Yedaber Kodem L'Tamid Shal Shachar, how do we know that nothing is brought on the Mizbeach before the daily sacrifice, before the Korban Talmid Shel Shachar? Tamaloma, the Pasuk says, when you're setting up the Maracha, when you're setting up the pyre, you're setting up the fire on the base of Migdosh, the Pasuk says, Ubir Elav HaKohen, Eitzim HaBoker Boker, Varach Aleha Ola. You put on the fire, the Ola, meaning right away, after you set everything up, the Ola comes first. V'amarava HaOla, Ola Rishona. It comes first, so it can't be. If you interpret Milvad as meaning before, we got a major problem by the Korban Talmid. So Milvad can't be from before. So we're back to the question, how do you know that the money has to come before the Asham, has to come before the Korban? So Gemara answers, Amalei, no. It's the same Pasuk, but you explained me wrong. I'm not learning that from the word Milvad. Milvad doesn't necessarily mean beforehand. Rather, he learns it out, Ana me'asher yichaper bo nafkalei. V'dayin lo kiper. Look at the Pasuk. It says, Milvad olasa kiporim asher yichaper bo, that you will use for kapara, which is lashon asin. It's in the future. So you bring the Asham, which is the Keren, Milvad El Kapurim, in addition to the El Kapurim, which will be brought afterwards. Therefore, you see, the Pasuk has an order. The money first, the carbon second.
It really doesn't make any sense.
What?
There's nobody, you don't give a kapara for something that you haven't gotten your kapara for in the first place.
What do you mean?
I don't give you money back. You haven't done anything yet.
We do. You
once
stole.
Once you give you money back.
Back to who? What do you mean money back?
Whoever it's going to the Kohen.
The money's going to the Kohen.
Whatever you're doing, before you give the carbon is after, is so you can finish up your problem with
so
God.
Who says it has to be
you
in order?
Take care of your business first.
So you're just saying it makes sense. It just makes sense, because also the same thing when it comes to Yom Kippur. Before you get forgiveness from God, you have to ask the people around for mechila. Okay, so it's consistent. Fine. Next. The Mishnah said, Nasan Lamas HaKeren, if you gave the Keren, when you pay this, there's two monetary payments. There's the Keren is the principal, there's the Chumash, which is the one-fifth, which is really 25%, the Dut Labar. But if you stole 100, you have to pay 125. It has to be one-fifth of the amount after you add the Chumash. So Nasan Lamas HaKeren, so if you gave the Keren, and Nasan Lamas HaKeren, the Mishnah says, Ain a Chumash Ma'akev. We see that quarter payment, that 25% payment, does not Ma'akev your Kapara. Okay, so the Gemara is going to now try to find a source of where that is. So we know the halachas of Me'ila, right? Someone who uses Mammon of Hektesh, or he takes Mammon of Hektesh and he brings it out of Hektesh, B'shogeg, so he has to pay money, meaning he has to pay the Karen, and he has to add a Chomish as well. Pesukim there are, Nefesh Kisim Omal, V'chata B'shkogam, B'kodesh Hashem, V'heves Hashamol Hashem, Eyal Tamim Min Tatzom, B'erkachot Kesh Kolam, B'shekal Kodesh L'Hashem, Es Asher Chata Min HaKodesh Yishalem, V'es Chamishol Yosif Olav, Eyal Fifth, V'nasan L'son L'Kohen, V'Kohen Yechaper Olav, V'Ela Ashav Nisachlo. Okay, that's the Pesukim. So Tanu Rabbanan, Minayin, how do we know? Shim Hevi Mi'ilaso. Okay, so again here also. Mi'ilaso is in the Lashon of the Gemara, Mi'ilaso is the money Asham is the korban, and we're going to interpret in the psukim that Asham is the money, because that's the way it works out for the way in the psukim. So we just got to keep that a little bit in mind. That confused a little day that's out in the last night, but they'll figure it out. Thank you, Rabbi Artscroll. It made a difference. Okay, so Dana Rabbanan. Minayim shehevi mi'ilaso v'lo hevi Ashamo. Ashamo v'lo hevi mi'ilaso shelo yatsa. How do you know that I have to bring both? In order to be yotze mechiv and paying for paying me'ila, I not only have to bring the korban, I have to bring the money. Not only have to bring the money, I have to bring the korban. I have to do both. I can't do one, not the other. They are me'akev. Tamalomar, the pasuk says, be'el ha'asham v'nislach lo. If you go back, we said v'achop, the last pasuk in the parsha was v'achop kohen yechaper lav, be'el ha'asham v'nislach lo. El, we're going to say, is the korban, because that's an idol, that's supposed to bring. And then we're interpreting, like I said before, talking asham as the karen, as the money. So the el and the asham, the carbon and the money, and then v'nislach lo, and then you get your kapara, then you're finished. So that's how you know you have to bring both. Uminayin she'im hevi ashamo, at shelo v'hevi mi'ilaso shelo yatsa. How do you know that if you brought the carbon, again, now back to the lashon of the Mishnah, if you brought the carbon, but you didn't bring the money, shelo yatsa, that you weren't yotze, Talmud lomar, be'el ha'asham, the El of the Asham, which is mashma, that the Asham kvar, that the payment was already made. The El Asham, the way they describe it, is the carbon of the principal. So therefore, the principal has to be brought first. So they say, by Me'ila, again, the money comes before the Asham. Yochol, you would think, Hashem Sha'ayel, Asham Akrim, Kachachom, Shmakav, just like those two, there are three payments, three things that go on by the carbon of the Me'ila. Right, there's the carbon Asham, there's the Karen, and the 25th additional. So we said items 1 and 2, the Ayol and the Karen are Me'akev. So you might think that the Chomish is Me'akev as well. Talmud Lomar, Be'ela Asham Nislach Lo. Ayol Be'Asham Me'akevim, Be'akdish, Ein Chomish Me'akev. It's only these two items are the Yikuva, but the Chomish is not the Yikuva. So the Gemara then says, V'yilameid Hekdish Me'hedyot. Now let's learn Kachim from Hedyot. Kachim is Me'ila, Hedyot is Gezel Ager, because the same things that you have to bring Asham, Karen, and Chomish. So how are we learning? We're learning Hedyot Mehektesh. What are we learning from the Hektosh? Yomad Hektesh Mehedyot, Hedyot Mehektesh. Hektesh Mehedyot. What are we learning from Hedyot to Hektesh? Ma Asham Dehasam Karen, Af Asham Dehacha Karen. We just said the interpretation of the word Asham in the Pasuk means the money. The Hedyot Mehektesh. And what are we going to learn from Hektesh to the Hedyot? Ma Hektosh Ein Chomish Me'akev. Just like by the Hektesh, I mean the Korban Me'ila, the 25% payment, the 1/5 payment. There's not ma'akev your kapara, afa hedjot, so too, by the case of Gezel Ager, nami in chomish ma'akev. So too, the 25%, one-fifth payment, is not ma'akev your kapara, and that's exactly what we're trying to figure out, that if you didn't give the chomish, our Mishnah said, it wasn't ma'akev. We learned it out from the korban of Me'ilah. Okay, hajjala gozel eitzim. Okay, last parak in Maseches Mavakama, parak hagozel umachil, hagozel vasra, second hagozel. Back to a little bit of halachas of shinui. Again, item is stolen. Halacha is you're supposed to give it back as is. Item changes some way or fashion. You pay for it. You don't have to give back the way it is. The kinyanei gzeila. Also, there are different types of shinui. There's shinui chos l'rasa. There's also a concept of shinui rishus. We said if the item changes, someone changes possession. The gazan steals it and gives it, and now it's in possession of somebody else. If there was a yeyush from the baal, we said yeyush plus shinui rishus equals a kinyan. That's, I think, a little bit of introduction. Okay. It depends who you pass like. What's the difference? Whoever the halacha is. So, hagozel, machil as hagozel. Okay, someone steals something. According to Rashi, it's something that's edible. According to Tosos, it's not dafka, something that's edible. But, and machil as banav, and you gave it to his children. His children basically consumed it. Toso says, Lav dafka machil, to who I didn't know sim lehem, to peturim, even if you just gave it to them. Meaning the guys, according to Toso is, I steal it, and then I give it to my kids. Okay? Aveiniach lefnehem, and he gave it to them. Peturim ilushalim. They, the children, do not have to pay the gazlan, because they didn't steal it. And they don't have chayev on the gazela of their father. You know, if you say that they ate it, then that's fine. It makes perfect sense. They were the ones who didn't steal it. I assume the father's not here anymore. They're the ones who didn't steal it. The items no longer extant. Well, they're supposed to pay him back. They're supposed to return. So, they're potter. The im haya davar sheyeshvo achrayus. If it is something that has responsibility, and I'm purposely not interpreting that, because the Gemara There's going to have two interpretations of what davar sheish bo achrayus means. Usually it means karka, but other interpretations mean that it's something that is similar to karka and that everybody recognizes whose it is, who it belongs to. So then there's a problem of you holding on to it, knowing that your father stole it, and everyone's saying, oh, that's the thing their father stole. It's not so coveted for the father to know that that's there. So chayavim l'shalim, that the children, the yorshim, have to give back, either mipnei kvod aviyem, or because we'll see another reason what it means, davar sheish bo achrayus. Okay. It's the Mishnah, it's a little cryptic. You know it's cryptic when Rashi says, HaGemara Mefarish Taima, HaGemara Mefarish Leit. Rashi just leaves it to the Gemara to explain the Mishnah. So, Amar Chizda, Chizda says, Gazal, I steal something. Let's just say I steal an item that's, you know, disposable, some sort of something that can be consumed. Gazal, Vilonis Yaishu HaBailim. And the owners do not give up hope of claiming it back. There's no Yeyush. Uba Acher V'Achlo Mimenu. Then person Reuven comes and he takes it from me. And he grabs it, he takes it from me, and he consumes it. So Ratza Mizegova, Ratza Mizegova. The Nigzal has a choice. He can collect the principal either from me or from Reuven. Why? Because my timer, Kol Kama Delonis Ashu Abailim, Berushu Sage Bidamari Kai. So long as the Nigzal did not have Yeush, the item is still considered to be in his Rishus. So when guy B comes and takes it, he takes it from right guy A's, from the Nigzal's Rishus. So he's like, well, it's a machlok, Sos Nesivus, it's a machlok whether the second guy is Chayav Midin Gazan, Chayav Midin Mazik, but nevertheless, he still has an obligation to the Nigzal, right? Or if he wants, I stole it from him, come from me, and collect your money from me. That's what Rav Chisda says. Right, Rashi says, Brushei de Marikai, Vizesha Achlu Nase Ki Gozlo Mibala. Rashi clearly says that guy B, who takes it from the Gazlan, becomes a Gazlan. So Tanan, the Gemara is going to ask a kasha on Rav Chisda from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "Hagozel umachil asbanov veheniach lifneim peturim milshalim." When the people B, when group B, which here are the children, they're the ones who eat the item. They are potter. According to what we just said from Rav Chisda, he would have a choice to go after them because he, so Rav Chisda asked, "It's a tiyut of Rav Chisda." Am Rav Chisda kitanya hi la'achri yesh? No, our Brisa, our Mishnah, talking about the case of achri yesh. Rav Chisda is saying that our Mishnah is achri yesh. His statement is prior to yesh. Prior to Yeish, the item still exists in the owner's rishus. After Yeish, it's out. If it's after Yeish, where is the shinui rishus? We're about to see that according to the machlokus, as to whether or not giving something over to your yorshim is a shinui rishus. So according to the Mandamur, it says giving from the father to the son is a change of rishus. Then I have no problem. I have Yeish plus shinui rishus. According to the Mandamur, it says there is no shinui rishus here. So what there was Yeish. Yeish alone, Yeish kedilo kana. Yeish alone does not create a kinyan. So you have to Tosos deals with that. Where that, how does it leave the owner's rishus so that he's not, so that his children are not obligated to pay? Okay. Fine. If the Mishnah then says, "Im hiniach lifnehem peturim mishalem," if the father the Gazlan left the gzela, meaning they didn't eat it, they didn't consume it, he just left it in front of them, they are potter mishalim, they don't have to pay. So Gemara has to try to figure out why they don't have to give back the chayfetz to the owner. It's sitting right there. Why don't they have to return it? Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, so Rabbi Bar Chama says, Zosomeris, this means rishus yoresh ki rishus lokeach dami. That the rishus of the yoresh, when something is inherited, it's a change of possession similar to something when something is bought, like we just said. Therefore, there's a shinui rishus. We just established our mission as being a case of yeyush. So I would have yeyush and shinui rishus, and that's why they would not have to pay. Right? Zosomeres, right? Rashi says, rishus yoresh, ki rishus lokeach dami, v'havili rishus acheres. V'kevon du ukminu l'masnisin la'achar yeyush. And since we just established that our mission is dealing with the case after yeyush, koni luhu yasmi v'yeyush. So these orphans, these inheritors, are koni with the yeyush, plus the shinui rishus. Would be potter. Because if Yeish by itself was a potter, then the father would be obligated to pay back, give back the item. You have to give back, obviously, you have to pay back, but he would have to give back the actual item. So, but the Rava, Amar Rishush Yoresh, Lavka Rishush Lachayach Dami. Rava says, when an item is transferred from his father to the children via inheritance, that's not a change in Rishush. So if it's not a change in Rishush, why are they potter? We only have a yeish. We don't have yeish and shinui rishus. So v'hachem ayiskinam kisha achalum. So the Mishnah would be talking about a case where they actually ate it, where they consumed it. It's no longer extant. So what's the story here? They didn't steal anything. It was stolen by the father. They didn't steal anything. It's after yeish. It doesn't exist here anymore. What are they supposed to do? They don't have an obligation to pay it back. The father's not here. They have no chiyuv, so they don't have to pay it back.
Why would they pay Shabbat Kesef?
Why
would they have to pay Shabbat Kesef even though they ate it?
Because they're not the thief.
But they're the recipient of the...
So what? They have no chiyuv. They're not the thief. They're not the thief. They have no chiyuv of Heshev Zagzeh Shagazo. They didn't steal it. Okay. All right. So Gemara says... V'hami tekatani seifa, the Gemara says, but the Mishnah of the seifa of the Mishnah said, im haya davar sheyesh bo achrayas. If it was davar sheyesh bo achrayas, davar sheyesh bo achrayas, we're explaining now the first way I explained it, meaning it is something that is like karka, meaning that it is known to have been owned by the nixal, right? So there we say davar sheyesh bo achrayas, then chayovim l'shalim, they would have to pay. So that's clearly extant. Michlal, the ratio of Exela Kayamas Askinan. Now, the Gemara is making a distinction, not whether the item exists or does. The Mishnah is making a distinction, not whether the item exists or doesn't exist. It's making the distinction as whether the item is Dover, something that's known to belong to the Goslin, to the Nigzal, something that's not known to be to the Nigzal. Meaning, obviously, the item exists. Rava just explained the Mishnah as being a case where the item doesn't exist. The Diyuk of the Mishnah is clearly the item does exist. So Rava again has a problem. Why would these Yorshim be putter? The item exists. There's no yeish and shein and rishus. You should give it back because it's right there. What's the problem? Give it right back. So bichlal the reish was the kayamas askinah. So amalach rava hachik amar. No, you're misinterpreting what it means. Dover sheish bo achrayus. Dover sheish bo achrayus means im heiniach lehem avim achrayus nechasim chayav l'shalim. If the father left over, not only did he bequeath to them the stolen item, but he bequeathed to them, which they consumed. But he bequeathed to them lands, which are dvarim sheyesh bo achrayus. So therefore, the moment the father stole the item, there is a lien now on his property to pay back. There's a debt. There's a lien to pay back. That lien pre-exists. It's pre-existing from the moment of the gzela. And therefore, if he bequeaths to them land, then Nigzal can go and collect his money from the land because he has a lien on that property. So it's not a question, it's not something talking about something. Dover Sheish Bo'achrayus is not something that you know to be, it's a completely different definition. Right? Like Rashi says, right, doesn't say, okay. Oh, the Hakam, Imen Yechlem Avim Karkos Mishalo, Afilo Achlos Agzele Chayavim, Dishtabe Nechasin Davul Michayim. Because there's a lien. That's what it means. So the Gemara says, how can you say that that's what the Mishnah means? Because we're now going to quote Rebbe, who's the author of the Mishnah, or he's the compiler of the Mishnah, who says that the Mishnah means exactly the opposite of you, Rava. It means what we thought existed beforehand, that Dover Sheish Bo'achrayus means something that's well known to belong to the Nigzal. Baha Mastin A Rebbe, Rav Shimon Berei, Lo Dover Sheish Bo'achrayus Mamish. We're not talking about Karka, we're not talking about leaving over something like that has that Dover Sheish Bo'achrayus. El Afilu Para V'chorishba, Chamo Rechamer Acharav, Chaim L'Hachzer Nekvod Aviyem. Even if you left over a cow or a donkey that's Nikar and known to belong to the Nigzal, that you have to return. So clearly, your Rebbe, who compiled the Mishnah, is telling you that the Mishnah does not mean what you say the Mishnah means. So Rabbi says, no, forget Rebbe. Man, going back to our history. So Rebbe compiled the Mishnayos. Rabbi Osher compiled the Brisos. So Rabbi's going to come and say, and Tosfos brings a couple cases, where he interprets Mishnayos based on the way Rabbi Osher interpreted, based on Rabbi Osher's Brisos. So Rebbe says, Rabbi says, Kisha Chivna, when I will die, Rav Osher Nafik Livasi, the Taritz Mesnitzin Gavasei. Rav Osher is going to come to meet me at the pearly gates because I interpret Mishnah in accordance with his interpretation. And so too here, I'm going to interpret the Mishnah in accordance with his interpretation because there's a Brisa, and the Brisa is compiled by Rav Osher, there's a Brisa that says as follows. The Tani Rabbi Osher HaGozel Umachil Ezbanov. Someone steals and gives it to his sons. Peturim Yilashalim, they don't have to pay. Heniach Avneim, if he left it before them, if the gzeila is kayem es chayavim, if the gzeila exists, you pay it back. I hear your question. What's the difference? If there's no obligation, why does it make it matter whether or not the gzeila exists or doesn't exist? They're not obligated. I hear you. Okay. I know that's your question. Pretty much. Right. So the tani Rav Osher goes l'machel as one of peturim l'shalem. Heniach l'fneim gzeila kayem es chayavim. Ein gzeila kayem es peturim. Heniach l'mavim achrayes nechasim. If he left them over. Ascrias Nechasim, which is clearly talking about Karka, then Chayav Mishalem. Then they have to pay back because there's a lien on it. So you see that according to Rav Osher, when the Mishnah says Dover Sheish Bo'achrayus, it means Karka. Doesn't mean this item that's known. So Rava interprets the Brisa, the Mishnah according to the Brisa, which is according to Rav Osher. Amar Rav. Amarav learned in this brisa, Ein hagzela kayemes paturim. If the gzela does not exist, then they're potter to pay. So to have it, you have to the Rav Chisda. That should be a kasha Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda just said before that it was geza, if he wants, he can collect from the gazlan. If he wants, he can collect from party B. So why here is party B, meaning the Yorshim, why is party B potter? Your question, why is party B potter? So that's a kasha Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda gave you the answer. They're not potter only prior to Yeish. Post Yeish, they are potter. Amal Rav Chisda, ki tanyahi la'achar Yeish. So in Achar Yeish, Yeish and Shin and Rishus, I'm done. That's why they're potter. If there was no Yeish, then you're right. Then they would be hired to pay it. Because then they're considered a Gozom and a Gazlan. So I guess maybe that answers your question. If there's no Yeish, then they would have to pay back. Okay, Amar Mar. The Gemara is now going to make another dig from this Brisa. Amar Mar. Gezela Kayemes, if the Gezela is still extant, then Chayovim L'Shalem, they have to pay, and they're not Kone with the Yeish and the Shin and Rishus, because it still exists. So name it to Yufta to Rami Bar Chama. Maybe this should be a kasha on Rami Bar Chama. Because Rami Bar Chama said, right, Rami Bar Chama said that if once it goes to the Yorshim, that's a Shini Rishus. So if I have Yesh and Shini Rishus, who cares whether or not it exists or not? They should be parted from paying, because it's Yesh and Shini Rishus. Or they should be parted from giving this back. So maybe this is a kasha on Rami Bar Chama, because here we say that if the item is extant, they do have to pay it back. So Amalach Rami Bar Chama, Kitanehi, when the price says that the Mechuyu to pay it back, what's the answer? The answer simply is, it's Lefnei Yeish. That's prior to Yeish, before Yeish. So yeah, they would have Shin and Rishus, but that doesn't count anything without the Yeish. My halach is, you have the Yeish, then the Shin and Rishus, and that's when they're Kone. Okay, we will stop here a little early.
So, again, it doesn't make... I don't know what they keep...